Hello there, friend. Welcome to Start Early Today, your daily dose of mindfulness and positivity. How have you been? Hope all is well in your world. Have you been mindful? Have you been keeping up, staying true and sincere to your promises? Are you staying devoted to what is truly burning inside your heart? Are you using your hands, your head, your hunch, and your heart? That is the four H's I learned from the book called Track Your Truth. But for today, let's do A Course in Miracles, lesson number 4. Oh, I would just like to share that I made a snowman yesterday. That's the first time I created a snowman. And it's so much fun. I used acorn caps for eyes and a couple of twigs for the nose, a little smile, and some arms. And now the snowman is slowly melting, and it reminds me of the ephemeral nature of life. And despite its impermanence, you can still see him smiling. And the snowman is no different from us human beings, that we can be happy despite the conditions. We can be accepting and gracious despite all that is happening in the world. And we are accountable and responsible for what goes on internally and externally. May we be mindful and responsible discerners of what we create, because what we create either lifts up the world or it brings it down through energy. I have also been looking into the chart of David Hawking's. The chart is the middle part is 500 and it goes up to 1,000, and from 500 to upwards is love, and 500 to downward is fear. So where are you on that vibrational scale? And this can be done by taking a deep breath and watch your energetic resonance. What are you thinking? Are you stuck in patterns of old beliefs? So break free from that. You're here to progress. You're here to break the mold and carve a new path. What is it going to be for you? What does it look like? What does your ideal life look like? So you can envision it, visualize it, and embody it. Everything starts in mind first, in the mind, in the thought, in your imaging faculty. And then your physiology shall react to your imagination. You'll pump yourself up. You'll excite yourself. One proof of this is you can practice imagining a sour lemon being squeezed in your mouth, and automatically your physiology will secrete saliva, or your mouth will react like the Pavlov dog. The moment he hears the bell ring, the mouth salivates. Remember that Jim did that to Dwight in the series called The Office. What's your favorite series? We've been watching Mr. Mayor. That's pretty hilarious. And The Office, of course. You can never get tired of The Office. Michael Scott and his love and compassion to the people, and Dwight's energetic, boundless knowingness in facts and farming. Okay, back to our lesson for today, which is lesson number 4. We're doing A Course in Miracles. So lesson number 4, these thoughts do not mean anything. They are like the things I see in this room, on this street, from this window, in this place. Unlike the preceding ones, these exercises do not begin with idea for the day. In these practice periods, begin with noting the thoughts that are crossing your mind for about a minute, then apply the idea to them. If you are already aware of unhappy thoughts, use them as subjects for the idea. Do not, however, select only the thoughts you think are bad. You will find, if you train yourself to look at your thoughts, that they represent such a mixture. In a sense, none of them can be called good or bad. This is why they do not mean anything. In selecting the subjects for the application of today's idea, the usual specificity is required. Do not be afraid to use good thoughts as well as bad. None of them represents your real thoughts, which are being covered up by them. The good ones are but shadows of what lies beyond, and the shadows make sight difficult. The bad ones are blocks to sight and make seeing impossible. You do not want either. This is a major exercise and will be repeated from time to time in somewhat different form. The aim here is to train you in the first steps toward the goal of separating the meaningless from the meaningful. It is a first attempt in the long-range purpose of learning to see the meaningless as outside you and the meaningful within. It is also the beginning of training your mind to recognize what is the same and what is different. In using your thoughts for application of the idea for today, identify each thought by the central figure or event it contains. For example, this thought about blank does not mean anything. It is like the things I see in this room, on this street, and so on. You can also use the idea for a particular thought that you recognize as harmful. This practice is useful, but is not a substitute for the more random procedures to be followed for the exercises. Do not, however, examine your mind for more than a minute or so. You're too inexperienced as yet to avoid a tendency to become pointlessly preoccupied. Further, since these exercises are the first of their kind, you may find the suspension of judgment in connection with thoughts particularly difficult. Do not repeat these exercises more than 3 or 4 times during the day. We will return to them later. I like the fact that they limited it for 1 minute. You know, the thing about practices being time-bound, it gets... It's really effective. That's what I'm trying to say. It's really effective if you limit it to 1 minute. And this can go with any other practice as well. Just a minute of silence, a minute of mindful deep breaths, a minute for non-judgmental awareness of all of your thoughts, and to see them with non-judging eyes. And this just reminds me to not judge. It's all the same lesson. We all get trapped and get into this loophole of judging, separating ourselves and then judging. That is not the whole of... that's not all that we are. So try to... know the difference between the thinking mind and the aware mind. So by default, to function in this world, we're automatically functioning as the thinking mind. The moment we wake up, the moment our brain hits the beta wavelength, for us to function in the world, to have relationships, to maintain a household, to maintain a life, much of our lives are functioning in the ego personification, identification mode. But in your search, in your awakening, the fringe dweller in you, something stirs up. You ask, is this all that there is? Survival. The mere surviving as a human, is this enough? So the moment you question that, that is your awareness knocking in. That's the spirit whispering to you, presenting and inviting you to bigger things in life. So this practice reminds me to become skillful in learning to see the meaningless outside of me and the meaningful within, that I give all the meaning, that everything that is presented to me in the outside world, or a better way of looking at it too, is everything outside of you is all that is within you manifest. That we do not see things for what they are, we see things for what we are. I'm gonna say that again. We do not see things for what they are, we see things for what we are. For everything that is outside of you is meaningless. You give meaning to it by becoming aware of it and conscious of it. I've also been studying the difference between consciousness and awareness. And according to my research, to explain it simply, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong or if you have a different sentiment. Consciousness is everything that has the potential for awareness. So everything that is conscious can be or have the possibility of awareness, but everything that is aware is has consciousness. Like, awareness is bigger than consciousness. Does that make sense to you, or do you understand? I'm trying to practice the Feynman method, wherein you explain things in the simplest way, explaining things to a seven-year-old. So the lesson for today is just about taking a step back and identifying whatever you're thinking at the moment. For that 1 minute, identify it as meaningless. And making it the same as the rock that you see on the road, or whatever you see right in front of you. Let's say, for example, a worry has been running in my head, like, what's a common worry for people? Like overwhelm of too much things to do. That's a common thing. Taking a step back and using the phrase, this thought about overwhelm does not mean anything. It automatically cuts you off from that energetic stress that you are that. And taking a step back and labeling it, you automatically empower yourself, for you enter a safe and spacious, grounded stance. That is empowerment right there. By giving it no meaning, you save yourself from these delusional thoughts of you having to complete things in a certain amount of time for you to be able to feel okay. And affirming that everything is okay. And just by seeing it, seeing that overwhelm, no different from the trash can you see in front of you. And so on. And this can be done in a minute. So practice that. So today, just practice for a minute. Practice lesson number 4. Take a step back. This birthday party that's coming up, that's occupying my mind, does not mean anything. It is no different from this lamppost, twig, and snowman. Okay? It might seem too radical for some of us because we're too attached to our emotions that we are programmed to love, and we are always forced by guilt that you should be this good person. But that is only one part of the stick. You are both, my friend. And to become truly loving, to access this part that is non-fluctuating, to really activate the centeredness that is unwavering, the Christ consciousness, you need not take sides. You should not even be the side of the good. For nothing is good nor bad, thinking makes it so. Be in the center of what is. It just is. It is neither good nor bad. It is neither a fortune nor a misfortune. The birthday party is not good nor bad. This coffee is neither hot nor cold. It just is. It is a temperature of a certain degree. And that's all that there is. And it's no different from the squirrel passing through. Okay, my friend? So become this, or try, just this person that is curious on how the mind works and how the life, or how deep can you be in your spiritual awakening? If you're done with your survival, if you're done with your, if you're on top of the hierarchical, what's that? Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If you got your needs met, if you're constantly just distracting yourself with shallow dopaminergic hits of entertainment and comfort, take a step back. Maybe you need to dig deeper. Maybe there's a bigger calling for you. Maybe it's in the field of creativity or spiritual deepening, or I don't know. Just lean in. Lean into what pulls you away. Lean into your triggers. So when you're being triggered, it's been said that your triggers are your treasures, for it shows you the part of you wherein you are not free yet. So lean into your triggers. Use this lesson number 4 as a clarifying practice. Maybe you can get clear on finding out the reason why you're being, why you're behaving in such a way, or why you're holding on to patterns that is not really serving your highest purpose, that is pulling you away from your highest self. So identify your highest self, dig deep into your center, and stay true, stay pure, stay noble, stay godlike. Lean into that. Okay, and this takes courage, leaning into the discomfort. Most of your growth will be uncomfortable. It's all discomfort, my friend. That's the whole nature of... Do you think your mom was comfortable birthing you? So it... But what came out of it is beauty and immense love. So sit with the pain, sit with the discomfort, and train for joy, and find the joy in the... what is seeming suffering, because nothing is what it seems. Nothing is what they really are. What it is pure love. It is pure God. It is pure water. And the moment you stop resisting and start to dive into it, with a, you know, where the, what do you call it? The tire hits the the asphalt, with a pedal on the floor, all into what life has to offer. So sit with the discomfort, sit with yourself, and work on the things you need to work on. What for? For discovery, because there's only so much you can unravel in a day and pick it up where you left off the next day. So make your body strong, make the mind clean and clear by using masterful techniques like lesson 4, taking a step back, giving no meaning to the thing that's going on inside your head, and making it no different from the inanimate and animate things in front of you. Everything is just is. Thinking makes it so. So cut out your attachments and your delusions. You're so much attached to your thinking. We all have been as humans. That is all natural. But we have survived. We have survived the jungle. We have survived the industrial age and the all the revolutions. You're now in your house, so tidy up your house, walk your pet, shovel the snow, wipe the countertop, cook something nourishing, make sure there's quinoa in there, protein, avocados for omegas. Check out makepurethyheart.com. I've written 7 essential vegan ingredients for a balanced meal. Make sure you do the pull-ups and the push-ups and the crunches and the Pilates. Go to Orange Theory. Shout out Caroline. That's her go-to. Find out what works for you. Find out what works for you, what makes you balanced. Always remember that it's all in your head, my friend. I recently finished coaching school, and I'm excited to offer this service. If you're interested, give me a DM. I have yet to work on a landing page wherein people can schedule a discovery call and we can design a plan that works for you, because coaching is an art form. I can go to the nooks and crannies of your head and your mind, and we can work out a plan that works for you, what suits you. It's like a bespoke coat that you can wear. We'll design it. Are you an overachiever who's burning out and you need something to make you feel okay wherever you are, that you are doing well, that you're okay? And we'll find exactly what you really need, and we will design the plan that works for you. Do you feel alone? Do you just need somebody do you just need a listener? So we can do that too. Do you need an accountability buddy? Do you need a mindset shift? Do you need somebody to tell you what to do? Okay? But that somebody is also yourself. But you have gone accustomed and addicted to your habits that you find it hard to dismantle yourself from the web of your making. We can work around that plan too, okay? Everything is negotiable and everything can be worked out. So lesson 4, A Course in Miracles. We tackled so much today. I hope you're doing well wherever you may be. Try to make a snowman. Or try to go rollerblading. That's it for me. Happy Valentine's. Are you going somewhere? I saw this documentary about the Carlyle Hotel, and it's really fascinating that the artist Bemelman's art is still there. The author of the children's book series Madeline. There's the Bemelman bar, and there's the Turkish inspired the gallery, and there's also the living room. So there's a lot to check at the Carlyle, and it's named after the writer Thomas Carlyle. He has some good quotes as well. And one of his quotes went like this: "May I be wasted so that I may be of use." So that is once again burning yourself off for the higher good, for the grander scheme, for the bigger picture. So what are you gonna sacrifice today so that you can be of service to something bigger than yourself, something bigger than your pleasure, something bigger than your aggrandizement, something bigger than your pomposity, something bigger than your yourself, than your ego? What is bigger than your ego? It is life itself. It's the whole thing. It's the raising of the human consciousness. Okay, what part are you gonna play? So I'm trying to learn as much as I can. I'm trying to raise my ability to express as much as I can through music, speech, and cooking, and articulation, and putting it on the internet and reaching to people, giving it to people. I think that's it for today, my friend. I can go on forever, but I gotta do me, which includes swinging some kettlebells and doing some backward bending. Might be weird to you, but you can be weird too. And we can all be weird together, because we're not born to be the same. We're not born to be the same. Your uniqueness makes you special. Your uniqueness is the puzzle piece that the world needs for its completion. We're all undergoing completeness, wholeness, atonement. We're all in a journey to become at home, to be at one with what is. And if you do not express what's that within you, what's within you will kill you. That's from St. Thomas, or from Jesus. Some say it's from Jesus, some say it's from St. Thomas. Do your own research, and doesn't matter where it comes from, right? Doesn't matter where it comes from. The matter is how. What matters is how you integrate it into your life. How do you integrate it in your life? How do you practice the lesson? How are you kinder to yourself, the animals, the plants, and the world? How are you being responsible in nurturing yourself, in sharpening your skills, and making it really useful so that you live the life of your dreams? Because if you don't give it out, nothing will give. You won't get it. You won't be given to. Okay, it's what you give to the world that you are given to. That's how you receive. And other people are the agents to your success. Okay? That your resources will come from them, from your clients. Your clients contain everything you need to be successful. Shout out Misha. That's it for today. I think we're on a roll here, but yeah, as I said, keep in touch. Start early today. MakePureThyHeart.com, TurboGod.com, SnowTattoo.com. Wow, we did 28 minutes. Happy Valentine's. Where are you going? Where are you off to? Where are you off to? Put on your nice shirt, your beautiful socks. I quit socks a long time ago, as I quit alcohol. Why? It's just too much, and I don't think we need it. But if a company out there will sponsor me, I'll be happy to wear them. But as for now, no socks, just some slip-on loafers and a vegan pants and a vegan shirt. And I'm not saying that you should be vegan, but you should. That's it for today. Namaste.